Today's program is brought to you by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest level of veterinary care to pets throughout the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, and surrounding areas since its founding in 2008. For more information, visit brooklyncaresvet.com.
I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as a food healer, and we've got a really interesting show today. We're finishing up our month of rescue with speaking to Jim Horton. Jim is an expert in wild animal rescue and is a licensed wildlife trapper in Westchester County, New York. We're going to find out what he does and what happens when you call Jim to help you out when a raccoon shows up in your attic. Jim is the founder and owner of Quality Pro Pest and Wildlife Services, who uses humane methods to accomplish their goals. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for coming on the show today. We've been talking about different kinds of animal rescue, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about what you do. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for taking some time off of Memorial Day to talk to us. I owe you. I appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I know you've got a barbecue going in the back.
Yeah, I sure do. I got a whole bunch of firefighters on my deck right now.
Maybe I should come to your place. So I want to talk about this. We got a lot of questions, so let's just get started.
Okay.
So your company covers Westchester County and New York State. So what kind of animals are you dealing with?
Oh, this time of year, we're getting a lot of squirrel, raccoon, flying squirrel. And we're actually getting starting to get a lot of coyote calls with conflicts with people's pets and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a recent thing, like in the recent years, or how long have you been dealing with coyotes?
Coyotes, the past about 10 years, you know, 8, 10 years, they've really showed up quite often now. You know, more and more every year we're getting reports of people's dogs being attacked and stuff.
Wow.
And children and stuff. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where are these guys coming from?
Well, these, I mean, coyotes were really never here before, so the ones we have here are, you know, kind of larger than the ones out west,
because
they've, the coyotes made their way up into Canada and crossed with wolves and then made their way down into, you know, from Ontario and stuff, Canada, down into New York, so that's why they're so much bigger over here in the east.
What a trip.
Yeah.
Wow. And so, for people that don't know anything about wild animal rescue, what do you do?
What do I do? I do nuisance wildlife removal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, somebody has an issue with, you know, say an animal came down their chimney or has made their way into their attic or something, they'll call me and I'll get in there and get the animals out.
And what do you do with the animals?
Most circumstances we remove them, you know, unless they're sick or something, and, you know, and unfortunately we have to euthanize them, unless they're, you know, they're able to be helped. We'll bring them to a vet or a rehabilitator or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, say, like right now, this time of year, we get a lot of raccoons, that are either in a fireplace, you know, on top of the fire ledge.
Mm-hmm.
Or in an attic, so we'll go in and we'll retrieve the mother and the young, and then we'll bring them to a rehabilitator, and they'll set them up. And a lot of times, because rehabilitators this time of year get a lot of, you know, babies in, because
mm-hmm.
people find them, you know, a mother gets hit by a car or something like that, and babies are screaming in an attic or in a, you know, in a tree or something. So it actually helps the rehabilitators a lot when I do bring them a mother with, you know, if a mother has like maybe three young,
yeah.
they can actually add, you know, a couple that they have, you know, with that mother.
Mm-hmm.
That way that mother can raise them and then they can do a release,
nice.
You know, when they're ready.
Nice. And like, oh, let's say you catch a raccoon in Scarsdale, for example. Where do you wind up releasing them?
Well, we do need permission to release
mm-hmm.
In New York. So, you know, I have several different properties where people have given me permission to release on, you know.
Nice.
And stuff. So that really helps us out a lot.
Or you can just go to Connecticut or Jersey and, you know.
No, that's illegal. actually in Connecticut, like unfortunately raccoons is a rabies vector species. So in Connecticut, their laws are a little different from New York's. Connecticut, we actually have to euthanize them. We cannot relocate.
Really?
So that's an unfortunate thing there.
And is that just for raccoons or is that for all wildlife?
Just rabies vectored species.
Right. And what are the other ones besides raccoons?
We're getting a lot of squirrels now. Bats. Bats are starting a lot now. Yeah, and flying squirrels.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny. I never saw a flying squirrel in Westchester. I'm glad they're there.
Well, they're nocturnal, so a lot of people don't see them, but they are quite numerous.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, the most I've ever pulled out of a single attic was 67 flying squirrels.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that was actually a brand new house that was built. And sometimes you get contractors now, the way they build houses, they actually left a very large gap in between the roof deck and the fascia board. And they didn't even have to chew their way in. They just walked right in and made a nice home for themselves.
Wow. So how did you learn how to trap animals?
Well, growing up as a kid, I always loved animals. I was always in the woods, you know, horsing around with them. But I actually answered an ad in a Penny Saver about 16 years ago for a handyman. And it didn't say anything about pest control or wildlife removal. I answered the ad. I went for the interview, and they said, this is what we do. And, you know, probably with the pest control, I probably would have been like, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I want to do that. But it had to do with wildlife, too. So I was like, let me give it a try. I love wildlife. So here I am.
And was it something that came to you naturally, or was it difficult for you to learn how to do this stuff?
A little common sense, you know, and over the years you learn how the animals, you know, move and react and what they do and, you know, it just becomes second nature, you know.
Right. And how dangerous is the job for the animals?
For the animals or me?
Well, for both of you guys, actually. That was my next question was about you.
For the animals, you know, I mean, there's some trappers out there that just do, you know, they don't really think about, you know, it's birthing time, so, you know, they'll put a kill trap out and not think about, hey, there's, you know, there may be young inside the house and stuff like that. So, we actually just 2 days ago, we removed, somebody put poison in an attic for raccoons. The mother ended up dying in the attic.
Oh, no.
And so did the young, unfortunately. Oh. And because the mother died, the young weren't able to nurse. And the people called us up because there was a very bad smell in the house. And that was the result. So it was an unfortunate thing.
That's sad. And then what about you? Like, have you been torn up pretty badly?
You know, I've actually been attacked by a rabid coyote. We've actually had one incident of a rabid coyote in Westchester, and I was actually the last one that it attacked.
How lucky are you?
Yeah.
So did you have to go for like the series of rabies shots in your belly and all that?
No. Well, they don't do it in the belly anymore, unless that's where you got bit.
Oh, really?
We have our pre-exposure shots. So, you know, if we did get attacked and we did not get that specimen in for testing, then we would just get post-exposure shots.
Right.
So, you know, that's about it. But, you know, it attacked me, but it didn't bite me. But that was a pretty good experience.
I mean, I can't even imagine. I worked in a vet's office, and, like, an angry domestic cat is, you know, you'll be wearing leather welding gloves, and they'll cut right through those things. And so I can't imagine dealing with something that not only is wild, it's probably terrified. So, like, what kind of equipment do you use?
Oh, I've always told people I would rather fight with a raccoon or a rabid coyote any day over a cat. They've got five weapons. They've got all four claws, and their teeth. So and they're pretty good with each and every one of them.
And they're a lot stronger than you think they are. When you're holding down a cat and it's finally had enough, I mean, you're going to lose. There's no way.
I was shocked.
You know, it's like a kitten would come in and hold it for vaccines. It would be like, I'm done. And it would, you know, I've got the scars to prove it all over my arms. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just had to go to a hotel. It was a hotel, like I think an extended stay, a hotel where I guess you're allowed to have pets.
Uh-huh.
And these people, I guess, from moving from place to place, their cat kind of wised up about being put in a cat carrier.
Oh, no.
And he wanted no part of it. And the people actually finally called us and asked if we can help.
Really?
So I went in there and I actually recorded it and I put it on my website. The cat, you know, gave a pretty good fight, but mm-hmm. we finally got it into the cat carrier, and it was just, you know, amazing how strong they are and how, you know, they can move around and stuff.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I remember, you know, they say when you scruff them that they kind of freeze. There are some cats that you scruff them, they don't freeze. They just roll over and attack you even harder, you know? So cats are a trip. I mean, I always used to say at the vet's office, I would rather take down an angry pit bull than a chihuahua, a shih tzu, or a cat. I mean, those three are like the most dangerous things I've ever dealt with.
Yeah. Well, the cat, if you scruff them, they can't be touching anything. As soon as they're able to touch something, then they can move. But if they're in the air, then they won't move.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's the thing. As soon as you put them there, as soon as their foot or paw touches something, mm-hmm. that's it. They're going.
I wish I knew that. Where were you 5 years ago? Where could I save my arms? So what's the ultimate goal in wildlife rescue?
The ultimate goal is to help people with their, you know, or help animals, whichever way you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
We always say we're helping with animal and human conflicts, you know.
Yeah.
There's always conflicts going on, and we're there to help.
And I'm assuming that your business has increased over the years?
Yeah, every year we've been getting busier and busier.
And why is that? Why is there more wildlife? I mean, when I was in Westchester as a kid, I mean, if you saw a chipmunk, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Like with coyotes, there's more and more habituation going on. You know, mm-hmm. we're actually doing a coyote trapping right now. And, you know, they always say, you know, haze the coyotes, scare them off.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the point now where, you know, people are putting coins in there in water bottles and stuff and shaking them and trying to scare the coyotes off. And they're not budging.
Uh-oh.
They're just looking at you like, okay, whatever.
Exactly.
You know? So it's, you know, we've had circumstances where people were feeding them pork chops, you know, on school property.
Oh, God.
You know, it's just, you know, people do the right thing and some people do the wrong thing.
And it's the type of thing, too, that people don't understand. Like, you know, it's a wild animal. We talked about this last week. I had a guest in that did wild bird rescue in Florida. And it's, you know, a wild animal will never be tame. You're not going to cuddle with this coyote because you bribed it with pork chops, you know.
No.
It's never going to be something. You're not having, like, a born-free moment with this animal, you know.
Well, in that case, the lady said she felt bad for the coyote because she always saw it by itself, you know.
Mm.
So I was like, lady, you're not helping the situation. You're actually endangering children because the coyote's hanging around school property, you know.
And they'll go after kids, huh?
We had an issue in Rye a few years ago.
Oh, my God.
Coyotes were attacking a few children. That was actually, I think, 2010.
I'm blown away by this. I mean, I grew up in Westchester, and I'm, like, shocked hearing this. It's like, what happened to the area?
Yeah.
You know, but I guess all the progress and all the building up north, you know, the animals don't have much of a choice, so they got to keep looking for land and stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know, the way they're building houses these days, they're leaving a lot of construction gaps, which allows animals to get in, you know, whether it be flying squirrels, birds, bats, raccoons, you know.
Yep, that's wild. Well, we need to take a quick break, so we're going to take a break for a minute, and we're talking to Jim Horton right now. We'll be back in 60 seconds and continue the conversation.
Yeah.
Animal Instinct is brought to you today by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic. Since 2008, Brooklyn Cares has been providing exceptional veterinary care to pets throughout Brooklyn, New York. Led by doctors Timothy Mann and Stephanie Liff, the practice advocates a gentle, holistic approach to caring for your pet and offers an impressive breadth of basic and advanced healthcare services for your dog or cat. This modern practice, conveniently located in the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, is fully equipped with state-of-the-art equipment to ensure that your pet receives the highest quality care, regardless of whether they're sick or injured, or simply visiting for annual wellness checkup. For more information, visit BrooklynCaresVet.com.
Hey, and we're back. We're talking to Jim Horton, wild animal rescue man. And Jim, I have a random question for you. What's the difference between pests and wildlife?
What is the difference between pests and wildlife?
Yeah.
I mean, pest control, or we call it pest management nowadays. That's, you know, general insects. You know, like nowadays we're dealing with a lot of stink bugs. Everybody's calling about stink bugs.
That's funny.
And rodents, you know, mice mm-hmm. and rats getting into the house and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
That's pretty much the difference. You know, wildlife is wildlife.
And are you seeing, like, an increase in, like, the pests that we just discussed with the increase in all the other wildlife as well?
Wow. This past 2 years, the stink bugs have taken off, you know, and like now we're getting a lot of calls because people are starting to see them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because the ones they're seeing right now are the overwintering stink bugs. They've already been in the house.
Mm.
And with the warm weather, they're starting to come out of, you know, the woodwork, as
yeah.
they say.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of times people have recessed lighting or spaces and gaps that mm-hmm. lead into the house, and that's why they see them.
Right.
But most of the time, like right now, they're in the trees, they're eating leaves and stuff, they're laying their eggs for the new ones. And they've actually been saying that, you know, hopefully this winter put a pretty good dent in them
yeah.
because it was so cold. But I don't know, we're seeing a lot of activity.
And are these bad for the environment?
Well, they are an invasive species. They
okay.
actually ended up in the, they came into Pennsylvania, I believe in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've just exploded from there.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things, too. I mean, do you know how they got here?
They actually came, I believe, from Asia to a nursery in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming. And it's like, this is one of the things, you know, when people go on vacations, not that this is specifically this case, but when people go on vacation and they smuggle something back, like a plant or a piece of fruit or what it can be, I mean, this can really start these kind of problems. So, you know, even though you really want that mango coming back from your vacation in Jamaica, like, you really should just eat it at the airport, you know, because you don't even know if there's anything on it, really.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wild. And so, do you deal with any injured animals?
Yeah, we get a lot of calls. Like, right now, we're getting a lot of calls for fawns. People are calling up.
Oh.
They're, you know, they see a fawn curled up in the bushes
mm-hmm.
On their property. And I'm like, no, just leave it alone. Don't touch it. Unless you see flies and stuff hovering around it,
mm-hmm.
that means there is an issue. That means the mother's not caring for the fawn, and it's, you know, the flies are landing on it and laying their eggs on it,
yeah.
and that, now there's a problem. But it is perfectly fine to see a fawn, you know, laying under a bush
mm-hmm.
all day long. The mother will leave it all day long and then come back for it in the evening.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something you wouldn't, I would never expect that from a prey animal.
Yeah. Well, that's not a prey animal.
Or not a prey animal. I'm sorry, what is it? my brain is just shut off. It's like the victim
animal.
We got
problems if deer are prey animals.
What it was, I'm like, now I'm like, predator, no, that's not it either. It's, you know, the ones.
Well, actually, yeah, they are prey animals. I mean, coyotes go after deer, so, but.
But they're definitely not the traditional prey animals.
Yeah.
So do you wind up doing any rehabilitation yourself?
I am not licensed to do rehabilitation. I can hold on to an animal for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I do try and find a rehabilitator, which this year we are definitely in shortage of rehabilitators.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the other day I was holding three female raccoons with young. One had seven, one had five,
wow.
The other one had four. And I was, frantically trying to find somebody to be able to take them, you know. It's unfortunate. You know, we're running short on rehabbers.
It's the same thing with the dogs and the cats. You know, it's every rehab that's doing dog and cat in the city right now is pretty much full because of puppy and kitten season. And so, you know, it's heartbreaking when you can't do anything. But so when you get animal, like when you're holding these raccoons, do you just have like a million cages and carriers in your home or at your office?
I actually have a very large shed, and outside of that shed, I have a like a Shelter Logic tarp garage.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have had donated from the animal control in my town. The animal control gentleman in my town had stainless steel holding kennels, which
nice.
He donated to me, which was really helpful.
That's great.
So I'm able to, put animals in there for, again, like I said, 24 hours until I can find somebody to take them.
Mm-hmm. And then is that the maximum amount of time that you can keep them for?
That I'm allowed, yes.
Yeah. So, like, what happens if you can't find someone in 24 hours?
That's the tough one,
you know.
It's other than that, I got to either do a soft release in one of my areas that I have, permission to release on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll set it up in a large dog crate,
mm-hmm.
and I'll put it on the property, and I'll put food and everything in there, and
mm-hmm.
I'll just, in the evening, I'll open the door, and a lot of times they'll just take the young and move them somewhere else.
And what happens if you rehome an animal into a new area? Will they stay there or they try to go back?
You hear a lot of back and forth about that. I've never experienced it myself, but you hear people, I spray painted the squirrel's tail and I drove it 12 miles away and I went home and I saw it back at my property. I've never experienced that myself. I mean, not that I go and spray paint squirrel's tails, but I've actually released on my property here, squirrels,
mm-hmm.
and they stay here. You know, there's plenty of people in my neighborhood that feed the birds and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I see them still here. They haven't left.
That's great.
They've lived here perfectly fine.
That's very cool. And what are the biggest threats that you see for wild animals in Westchester?
I'm sorry, what's the what?
What are the biggest threats that you see for wild animals in Westchester County?
Oh, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, that's pretty much it, we keep building and stuff. You know, we're unfortunately they're not building the houses properly and animals are able to get into them. But traffic, cars, people,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately that's it. Disease too, I think 2 weeks ago, Westchester was number one in New York State for rabies.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, actually, this past week, we had an instance where somebody left five baby raccoons in a cage in front of the health department's front door. So we've been trying to find out who had those raccoons,
Yeah, yeah.
And because that's potential, rabies transmission there.
And when you're talking about, the highest levels of rabies, do you have a number or a percentage of, how many cases you guys are seeing, or...?
Exact numbers, I don't know. You'd have to actually go on the Westchester County Health Department's website and find that out.
Fair enough. Do you think it's hundreds or thousands or
no,
I just have no,
no
I have no,
no
idea.
It's,
so
it's probably 30, 50,
okay.
Something like that.
It's crazy too, because it's rabies with all the vaccinations and all that. One would think that you could almost eradicate it, but as long as the wild animals have it and they're not getting vaccinated, I guess it just keeps going,
Yeah, well, we find every 11 or so years you get a little spike in it.
Funny.
Oh, I'm not sure why that is, but that's what we've been finding.
What a trip! And what is it about the wild animals that appeals to you?
It's something different every time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the type of person to be sitting in a cubicle every day doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
with animals, it's always something different, always something you got to try and figure out. Hey, how do I got to get this animal out of this house? How are we going to set this up?
Mm-hmm.
and fix the problem, you know. So it's always detective work a little bit, common sense, how the animals move, react, do this, do that, you know.
You must be really, really good at this by now, just knowing body language and of all these different species, you know, you have to.
Yeah, we're getting there. There's always something, everybody says, wildlife expert Jim Horton. I never consider myself an expert. There's always something new to learn.
I hear you.
Always something new to learn.
I hear you. I think it's a dangerous word, and I apologize now for using it in the intro, but it's I'm always leery of people who will openly say, well, I'm an expert, you know. I agree with you. I feel that there is always more to learn, and that, you know, that's part of the joy of doing things that you love, is being able to learn more about them and to get better at them. So
yeah, absolutely.
And let's see, is there a wildlife rehabilitation center anywhere nearby you for permanently injured animals that maybe the public can go to?
Center, no. Mm-hmm. There are wildlife rehabilitators all over the county. When people call me, with an injured songbird or something like that, mm-hmm. I have a bunch of rehabilitators in my phone, so I'll give them that number, or I'll actually tell them to go on the New York State DEC, website, and you'll be able to find a rehabilitator in your area mm-hmm. from there.
Cool.
But, I think it would be pretty cool if we could get a rehabilitation center, up and running in this area. That'd be great.
Yeah, I do too, because the education's so important, and I definitely, people in Westchester love animals, and so I think it would be a great, great thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, just like the ASPCA for dogs and cats, mm-hmm. it'd be great to have one for wildlife.
Totally, totally. And are you guys seeing as many skunks as you used to in the old days?
Skunks are actually starting to pick up a lot right now. The young have just been born the past couple weeks.
Mm.
So when we usually get a lot of our calls are like the third week of June
mm-hmm.
when the young are starting to venture out. So people will call us up and say, oh, there's a bunch of skunks on our front yard, or coming out from under our shed.
Panic!
That's when we get to take some cute pictures of cute little baby skunks.
I love them. Like, I have a fantasy of having a pet skunk. I've always have. I
yeah.
love
well,
them.
Well, they say they make really good pets as long as you get them descented there.
I've heard that they never get totally de-skunked. Like, even if the glands are gone, that you'll still get, like, residual skunk stank. So.
Well, it's like ferrets. They are part of the weasel family, so, even ferrets, when you descent them, you still have that.
Yep.
There's those little glands that you can never get out of them.
That musky, ferrety smell.
Yeah.
So what do you think is your favorite story of all the years that you've been doing this?
My favorite story?
Yeah, what's your favorite incident?
Oh, we've had so many. We had an African serval that got away from a property in Bedford Hills that made its way down to the Mount Pleasant area. We had to trap that. That was fun.
Wow. Was that a pet?
That was somebody's exotic pet,
Oh, my God.
Yeah, somebody by the name of Michael Steinert or something like that.
Hmm.
He has a bunch of exotic pets and everything like that. And when we got the animal, I had to bring it to a vet to see if it had a microchip in it, and did. And we found out who the vet was. I brought it to that vet, and the vet was like, oh, come in the back. Let me show you something.
Oh, no.
And I went in the back room with him, and he's like, oh, take a look at this. And it was a wallaby.
What?
And the wallaby had a cast on it, and it got hit by a car. And I was like... He's like, the same guy owns this animal. I was like, well, does this guy know how to keep his animals on his property?
Seriously.
I mean, there's something wrong here. If, I've got his cat, and there's a wallaby here with a broken leg. They got hit by a car.
Unreal.
So, that kind of was a little upsetting.
I'm kind of amazed that it's legal.
Yeah.
It's,
I don't know. I think they have to get some sort of special permit or something for that.
Well, apparently you don't need special fencing, so...
Yeah.
That's a pity. God, unreal.
I didn't even get a thank you from that guy for that either.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
People.
Yeah, I helped my town out with that one.
Seriously, I mean, that's an animal that not even people don't even know what it is. It's like there's some freaky cat in the neighborhood, you know? Like,
yeah, it was a beautiful animal, though. Really beautiful.
Gorgeous. But we'll scare the hell out of you if you're not familiar with what it is. And, you know, walking a dog at 8 a.m., I can't even imagine. Forget it. Like, run, Fluffy, run, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Jim, last question for you. What's your favorite wild animal?
My favorite of all wild animals.
Yeah.
In this area?
In wherever area.
You know, I'd have to say the coyote because they're very, you know, adaptive, very hard to trap. You know, they're very sly. They're pretty slick.
Mm.
You know, it's just amazing how they're able to work around us and do what they have to do to survive.
And they're beautiful.
They are a beautiful animal.
They really, really are. Well, Jim, thank you so much for talking to us. I wanted to know if you could give us some information for any listeners that may need your assistance or sort of have any questions. So can you tell us your website and how to get in touch with you?
Website is www.qualitypropest.com. An even easier one, which would redirect you to that, would be qualitypropaws, P-A-W-S. .com.
Cool. Jim, thank you so much for taking time from your barbecue. I'm going to let you go back out there and hang out with the firemen and the buddies. Please thank them for all the great work that they've done from all of us here at Heritage Radio Network. I'm Celia. I'm the food healer. If you want to try to find me, you can find me at foodhealer.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you have a great Memorial Day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.